Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music. Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 68 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host Grimlock, aka Philip Keeney, and I am joined tonight by the sultry Rogue Fox, aka Mike Martinez. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic.
Oh, excellent. That is what I love to hear. And also tonight, the not-so-sultry Neons, aka Jason Andrews. Jason, I don't actually care how you're doing tonight because you just make this fucking awkward every time I ask you how you're doing tonight.
I'm salty this night.
So, Mike.
I'm salty.
Yeah, I saw what you were doing before the podcast. You're definitely salty.
Oh, shit. No, man. Me and you have been having some fun off cast off I don't know, whatever, off camera, whatever, debates back and forth that have been like fun, healthy debates that I like had a blast with. I think you did too. I think we were both trying to like rile the other one up.
I was definitely trying to wind you up.
I was trying to get you right back. And I think that's the greatest part is like, I'm just sitting there and, you know, like sitting in bed on my phone, just like being a little like type warrior. Oh, great. So I've been looking forward to this.
I was about to like go and defend Jason's honor. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is going on with Philip? And I realize I'm not going to even get involved with this.
Oh, dude, it was so funny because the four of us are on that, you know, like message board together, right?
Yeah.
And it just turned into you two just sitting back watching like, what the hell is happening?
My interest in the conversation quickly declined after a few
minutes. Oh, I can tell. Like, I don't think Adam has seen half of what was posted. He's like, I don't care at this point.
I can't even keep it up. Yeah, so it's kind of funny because I used to be like really heavily involved in this soccer group chat that I kind of just like completely disappeared from since like July, because there was another guy in that chat that would constantly try to wind me up and I would always fall for it. And yeah, I don't know what got into me yesterday. I just felt like winding somebody up.
It was great, man. I like ran with it immediately. It was like, let's do this.
Yeah. No, it was all in good taste for the most part, except for the fact that you're an asshole. And so,
man, it's fun.
No, I'm just kidding.
You guys will get, so look, bottom line is we have a heavy show with a lot of news and stuff. But we'll touch briefly on the subjects that me and him went at each other on. And so you'll probably get like a small snippet of it, but it'll be fun. But we'll try not to hang on them.
Yeah. It'll be good. Y'all can see a little bit about what we debated half-heartedly over the last couple of days. But yeah, it's a big show. So you know, let's try to start diving into it a little bit. I want to kick it off with the fact that I watched Dune this past weekend, and I know, Jason, you've seen it. I'm not sure, Mike, if you've watched it. But holy shit, this movie is really good. Yeah. Really good.
I watched it twice, and it's so, I mean, look, it was really good the first time. It was so much better the second time. Like, there's a bunch of small little nuances that I just, you know, really appreciated the second time. Yeah, I agree. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. When I was in high school, I read the first couple Dune books. My dad is a huge fan of the series. And I read the first couple, and man, it's like trying to read like sci-fi Lord of the Rings. Okay, this is like some really, you know, heavy stuff. Lots of writing and language, etc. Not like bad language, but as in like just a lot of, you know, exposition. I think is probably the right
building.
Word.
It's girthy.
Yeah. It is girthy. And so I didn't know what to expect because they've tried to do Dune in movie form several times, actually. But this is the first time that I would say it's like on Star Wars level.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of production and story building and character building in the movie. And I was very excited about it. I thought it was
fantastic.
Here's
the review I could give for it. It's modern day graphics. So think of it like the newest Star Wars, but storytelling quality of the original trilogy.
That is brilliant. I love that.
Right,
I
mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like what we all really want.
Yeah.
It's the updated version of the trilogy. Like, that's the best descriptor I can give for it. It was great.
Yeah, I think that's a great example, or a great sort of brief review of it, because that's exactly true. I mean, the story is really entertaining. It's really fascinating what's going on, the political intrigue, the different factions, and how it's all centered around this world of Dune and what Dune produces, which is the spice that allows the navigators to travel intergalactically between the planets. And so it's the only place, apparently, that the spice is found naturally. And so it has become the single most valuable entity in this known universe. And so just the story and the political intrigue around it is really awesome.
So the other description I've heard of it, which I don't necessarily entirely agree with this one, is that it's space Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, because, I think people are pulling the you got House Atreides and House Harkonnen and all that.
The deception going on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. Mike, have you watched this movie yet?
Have not.
Okay. Have you still got an HBO Max account?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you can watch it there.
Yeah. I kind of want to watch it in IMAX, though, because I heard it's like amazing. Yeah. Like, you're going to watch it. Like, watching it in IMAX is like the way to go because of how great the visuals are.
Yeah, you make a good point. Maybe I'll just trounce my, traipse my happy ass down to the movie theater by myself tomorrow night.
I've watched the movie by myself. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely done it before a couple times. No, none of you guys live up by me, so when I go, I have to go by myself.
I've been to the movies so many times by myself just because, I travel a ton and I'm out of town and just like, I'll go to the movie theater.
Yeah.
So, ton. So, my one complaint is that we have to wait for a part two.
Man, this like, I'm so spoiled by TV shows.
They cliffhangered me on a freaking movie, dang it.
Yeah. Dude. And they have announced part two, so it's coming. Yeah. It is definitely coming.
It's coming.
It's absolutely coming. Anyway, speaking of maybe possibly the new Star Wars, our modern Star Wars, we got a trailer for the next Star Wars show this past week, The Book of Boba Fett. Did you guys check it out?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've never been like a huge fan of like those side stories from the Star Wars, but like this looks actually really entertaining.
Are you serious? You didn't like The Mandalorian?
I never watched it.
Oh, that's your problem. Dude, Mandalorian? I'm just telling you right now, Mandalorian is also like the modern day version of the original trilogy. It's so good. It might be the best Star Wars that's ever. It's amazing.
It is very close to best Star. It's definitely top 3 to 4 Star Wars products.
It's good, man. You gotta watch it.
I mean, it's right worth there with Rogue One. Did you like Rogue One?
I loved Rogue One.
Okay, yeah.
You'll love this, man.
You'll love The Mandalorian. So you should check it out. The trailer looks very interesting. Obviously, it's centering around Boba Fett and Fennec Shan? I'm trying to remember how you say her last name.
You've seen the internet going all crazy over this. Boba Fett has eyebrows now. And he's not had eyebrows in the past. Like, they've been like, I don't know, seared off or something. But now he has eyebrows and the internet's all abuzz about it.
Oh, man. That is pretty funny. It's so weird, like, attention to detail.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they picked up on. And then people, obviously the defenders are like, look at how beautiful Fennec is. Clearly she's drawing his eyebrows.
That's great. The one thing though, and I tweeted about this on the TriCast account, the thing that is a little bit odd to me is they seem to be trying to make Boba Fett into this sort of noble kind of bad guy who's a good guy. And I do find that really strange because, I mean, Boba Fett was not a good... Right. He was absolutely a bad guy.
Yeah.
Forever in Star Wars.
I thought he was supposed to be like kind of like an anti-hero type person. So he's not even that then, is what you're saying.
No. Yeah, no. He's just straight up
tax collector, bounty hunter. I mean, like, do the job. No morals, don't care.
Yeah, I mean, his ship was called the Slave One for a reason. The dude was, I mean, he was a slave trader. Yeah. He was Jabba the Hutt's right-hand man. He was his go-to. Top guy, yeah. So, I'm intrigued to see how they tried to explain this change of character in Boba Fett.
He'd be like the version of, Al Capone's number one hitman, right?
Right.
Like that's who Boba is.
I wonder, right. If there's like a point to like for them to be portraying him this way, and like there's gonna be like this big twist at the end.
Nah, I don't think so.
I hope that they explain it well, because if they don't, it'll be a little bit disappointing. We've seen a softening of his character through the Mandalorian season 2, but at least in season 2 Mandalorian, you could tell that he was at least somewhat honor bound, and that was what was driving his motivations.
Yeah.
This time, I'm not sure what it is. I don't know. I just really hope that they explain it, because it is a very jarring change in character for him.
Yeah,
for
me. Trailer looks good though.
Trailer looks fantastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, should we get on into some back of the box trivia?
Let's do it.
All right, so my theme for this week is political espionage games. Jason, this is for you, because you say that I let my politics get in the way too much. So, fuck you. This is never. For you. Just kidding. Anyway,
I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, that's, yep, I should have kept my mouth shut. I saw it immediately. I was like, that's, yep, I did this.
You did this. All right. So starting with the oldest game of the bunch, as always, here we go. Step into the dark. As Blank Institute's most promising new agent, Blank must uncover the truth behind the Blank Corporation's recent technological breakthroughs. Breakthroughs which could have serious consequences for mankind. Here you go, guys. It's your first game. And you
okay,
get it.
So I feel like I want to invoke a hint.
You want to invoke a hint. All right. This game comes from a company that is now... Let me see. How do I want to say this? So the developer used to be under one of the major publishers' banner, and now they are under another, and they are the developer of this game. So think of probably the only developer that used to reside under one of the major three game console publishers and now resides under the other. It's actually they developed one of Mike's favorite games these days.
Bungie.
I was about to say, I literally was, even before you said that, going to say Bungie, because Bungie went from Activision.
What? No. Think the three big. You know, Microsoft, Nintendo, PlayStation. That's who I'm talking about. Not Activision.
Who swapped from Xbox to PlayStation, or PlayStation to Xbox? So I feel like it's one of those two.
Yeah.
Why is my brain not grabbing who this would be?
The developer of this game.
He's just gonna have to tell us. Like, you can see him. I can see the gears turning.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Reread the description to me again.
All right. Step into the dark as Blank Institute's most promising new agent, Blank, must uncover the truth behind the Blank Corporation's recent technological breakthroughs. Breakthroughs which could have serious consequences for mankind.
No idea. I really have no idea.
I want to say Perfect Dark, but... Yeah. I feel like that's not right, because I don't think Perfect Dark was Xbox, and it's still Xbox.
So I will be a little bit more generous in terms of the developer. The developer is Rare. So Rare moved from Nintendo to Microsoft.
Okay, I was wrong.
Rare developed Sea of Thieves as well. Mike's one of Mike's favorite games these days.
I don't know. So it's definitely not perfect.
This game was released for the Nintendo 64.
Wait. Nintendo 64?
This game was released in 1998 for the Nintendo 64.
Oh. Again, I'm thinking it's 1997.
It is not GoldenEye, if that's where you're going.
Yep.
Yeah.
A Rare game, actually, though. So very good shout.
Oh, nice. You were way closer than I was. I'm at a complete loss.
All right, well, Jason, you should have stuck with your gut. The game is Perfect Dark.
No way.
Step into the dark.
Banjo-Kazooie.
God damn it. I thought Perfect Dark was always an Xbox game. What am I forgetting here? Yeah, it was on Nintendo?
It was on Nintendo 64.
Damn it. Yeah. I played the old school Perfect Dark. I just don't remember that. I have completely blanked it, man. I played it.
There you go. So the full back of the box is Step Into the Dark. As Carrington Institute's most promising new agent, Joanna Dark must uncover the truth behind the Datadyne Corporation's recent technological breakthroughs which could have serious consequences for mankind.
That sucks. I always bounce around them and just can't freaking make myself stick to it.
All right, here you go. Number two. Blank is back in the latest installment of the critically acclaimed series from director Blank. Top secret weapons technology is being mysteriously transported under cover of an oil tanker to an unknown destination. Armed with an arsenal of new weapons, supplies, and stealth maneuvers, it's up to Blank to infiltrate the transport and keep this deadly weapon of mass destruction from falling into the wrong hands.
So I have a game in mind, trilogy, and I'm almost positive I remember playing this game, and it was specifically based of being on, I think it was more of a tanker than a rig. You say a tanker or a rig?
It says a tanker, I believe. Yes, an oil tanker.
I want to say it's Splinter Cell, and I can't remember which one, but Splinter Cell is what is... like in my head. It's one of the Splinter Cells. I just don't remember which.
Splinter Cell is in your head. Mike, what have you got?
I've got nothing. Like I don't think I played a lot of these political espionage type games.
Yeah, I want to say Splinter Cell, but I don't know which one. I just don't remember at all.
Do you want a hint before you try to make a...
Yeah, hint me.
All right, so this game was released in 2001. It's the second in a series, and it was released on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I'm going with Splinter Cell. Again, don't know which one, but I will say this. I'm realizing now for the first two guesses, I've guessed them while staring at Mike's mug for some reason and not doing my normal, which is looking directly at your face and waiting for those cues that I get from your non-poker face.
I'm trying to be and as I've blank not as possible. Done it.
I mean, I've got to start looking at you. But I'm going with Splinter Cell. I couldn't tell you. It's not that I don't know which one. I just literally cannot remember what the names of each one of them are. But I'm going with Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell. Final answer. Mike, do you want to diverge from Jason? Do you want the second hint before you diverge from Jason?
I'm already locked. Give me the second hint.
Go for it.
The second hint is this game is developed by an extremely famous artur and director, probably the single most famous artur and director in the video game industry.
Ah, shit.
If I tell you his name, you'll get the game immediately.
I mean, gosh damn it. Can I change my answer? I know what it is.
Mike, do you want to take a guess before I tell you?
Mike, I have no idea.
Mike.
Look into my eyes.
I'm giving you hints. Look into my eyes.
The game is Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, shit. Damn it!
Whenever you said eyes, like, oh, yes.
Yeah, as soon as that second hint, I was like, oh, it's freaking Hideo Kojima. I was like, no!
Hideo Kojima. The game is Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. Here's your full description. Solid Snake is back in the latest installment of the critically acclaimed series from director Hideo Kojima. Top secret weapons technology is being mysteriously transported undercover of an oil tanker to an unknown destination. Armed with an arsenal of new weapons, supplies, and stealth maneuvers, it's up to Snake to infiltrate the transport and keep his deadly weapon of mass destruction from falling into the wrong hands.
Dang it, dude.
All right,
I don't know if my hint was good enough for you, not Mike. I was trying to do like Snake Eyes.
I got it. It was like the second time you said it. I'm like, I knew exactly who that was.
All right, this is the third and probably most difficult game of the trio. It is also the newest. Here we go. A very short description. In the first modern-day espionage RPG, the path you choose is in your hands. Will you seduce and subvert or kill and coerce? Your weapon is choice. Huh. That is the full description.
Trying to think RPG that is an espionage or spy type related.
So actually, if you know this game, me actually even reading out espionage RPG is a major hint that is actually on the front cover of the title.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure I know the game, though.
No idea.
The newest one.
It's the newest one.
Give a hint.
This game came out for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 in 2010. Also comes from a now Microsoft-owned developer. I think y'all won't get it anyway, so I'll go ahead and tell you. Obsidian Entertainment is the developer behind this game.
You're right. Give me no clue.
It was published by Sega.
Sega. I don't know.
I have no idea.
You guys are totally stumped.
I'm drawing blanks. I don't know on this one. Tell me.
All right, the game is Alpha Protocol, the espionage RPG. That is literally the title.
I literally have never heard of that game.
Never heard of that game. Never.
Sorry.
That's really disappointing. This game is often talked about as one of the best spy RPGs out there.
I'll look it up, but I was like, I have no idea. So you said it's called Alpha what?
Alpha Protocol.
Protocol. Yeah, there it is up there, Alpha Protocol. Maybe all I noticed it from the... Yep, don't even notice the cover art or anything. Sorry. Just never freaking played it.
I will say that I went to a article from Game Rant.
72% on it.
Went to an article from Game Rant that gave the 15 best stealth games.
Yeah.
Alpha Protocol was number 14. Metal Gear Solid 2 was number 2, and Perfect Dark was number 1. So I tried to give you all two easier ones, and then hit you with the harder one at the end.
It was good. Dude, if you would have gone with Ghost Recon, that we all played together.
Yeah.
Wildlands?
No, the one before that. Is it Wildlands? The one in Bolivia?
Yeah, Wildlands.
Dude, that is like one of the best like stealth games I have ever played. Like if I get caught, I restart the freaking mission. Because you can go ahead and plow through if you're like, no, that's like not what I do. I have to like restart that shit.
The lame way to do it.
You might actually like Breakpoint. Breakpoint, when it originally launched, was much more, and I'll get into talking about it here in a minute, so maybe I should just wait until we get to our games we're playing, but you might actually like Breakpoint, and I'll tell you why. Should we go ahead and get into into video games, get into the meat of the show, guys?
Let's do it.
All right, because you know what? Each and every week, we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as we can handle in a week, simply because we love video games. And I think this week you're going to get a shit ton of Jason monologues you did not ask for. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a like and a review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends, because this show continues to grow thanks to all of your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1 and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on any platform with your questions. All right, before we get into what we are playing, I do have one correction. This one is my fault. My fault, everyone. Last week, I called the actor who plays Far Cry 6 villain Anton Castillo, I called him Giancarlo Espinosa. That is completely wrong. His name is Giancarlo Esposito, and he plays Moff Gideon in The Mandalorian.
Esposito.
Moff Gideon in Mandalorian. So, Mike, go check out The Mandalorian. There's your second plug for The Mandalorian.
Making you watch it with me after the show.
Also, before we get into what we are playing, I did a bunch of digging into the metrics of the show, who's downloading it, and I've discovered that we have a listener in Glasgow, Scotland, and a listener in Frankfurt, Germany, and they have been dedicated for the past... I have several months. So if you are that listener from Glasgow and you are that listener from Frankfurt, Germany, please, please, please write in. I'd love to hear the story. How did you find our show? What do you love about listening to us trio of sorry ass Americans? We love having you on the show, and we hope that we are not too belligerent to our European brethren. Thank you for listening.
I hear like Americans, all I can ever think is that scene in Finding Nemo, where the sharks are talking about, people who are like the people who kidnapped the son, and they're like, he's probably American.
That's great. Yeah, you can tell that we're dads of small children. Me and Jason are. Mike is just a small child at heart. So, you know, God, he's probably seen Finding Nemo as well. All right.
He doesn't watch Mandalorian because it scares him.
It's rated scary. 2. My mom won't let me.
My mom.
I'm older than both y'all bastards. Wait, no, Jason's older than me.
Say, no, I was going to say, no, you are I definitely not older than me.
Month and a half, I think.
Yeah, month I'm and a half. All right, let's jump into what we're playing this week. I'm going to have to do a lot of talking after this, so I'm going to kick it off. I have been playing Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I started it a couple nights ago. And so I'm going to start with that since I was just kind of branching over to that, Mike, since you brought up Wildlands. Breakpoint, when it launched in 2019, was much more like The Division or Destiny in that it had gear scores, it had loot, it had all of that nonsense in it. And it didn't do well at launch, but since then they have released what they call the immersive update. And so when you start the game, you can choose either the regular version or the immersive update. And the immersive update does away with all the gear scores, all the loot, all of that portion of the game. And you just play a tactical shooter, essentially, a squad-based tactical shooter. I started it with my dad a couple nights ago. We're not very far into it, maybe about 3-4 hours into it. I have to say, as a game that's been built on for a while, a game as service that's been built on for a while, there is a fuck ton thrown at you at the start of this game. And it just highlights the challenge that these games have in drawing new players in, because it is very confusing, even for me. But for my dad, who's not much of a gamer at all, it has been quite overwhelming for him. And I've had to try to streamline a bunch of stuff for him and try to explain it and do a bunch of Google searching to try to explain different parts of the game to both of us and get us up and running. But once we kind of got through the first couple hours of the game, and started getting into some of the missions, we've definitely been having a lot of fun. You definitely need to take your time. It's not just a run and gun, blow shit up type thing.
Right.
It's kind of set in a near future. And if you kill somebody in the wrong place, you can get caught by these drones that then turn into like police drones, and they start flashing red and blue lights and wailing sirens. And yeah, it's great. Nice. And then people come running at you, and then you're all sort of hunkered down trying to defend a position. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of neat gadgets in it. I'd say so far Wildlands was definitely still the better Ghost Recon. But yeah, I'm actually I enjoy the shooting part of the game. I enjoy the tactical part of the game. It's got an absolute enormous map. I don't think I've played an open world game outside of like Red Dead Redemption with a bigger map.
Right.
This thing is huge. And honestly, it's way too barren in between, and all the bases seem to kind of feel very similar. So in that regard, I would say it's probably one of the weakest aspects of the game. But yeah, I'm still pretty early into it, so not so too much
gameplay
more
good
that.
Map and diversity not so good.
Exactly. Yep. I would say that's 100% accurate. The story seems kind of interesting so far. You go out to this island that was built into this like near future utopian island that seems to have been taken over by some, you know, evil militaristic corporation, and you go in to try to figure out what's going on, and they shoot down all your helicopters at the start, and all of your ghosts get scattered across the island, and you start coming together and trying to figure out what's happening. So kind of a neat narrative so far as well, going on in the game.
Cool.
All right. The other thing I've been playing is Far Cry 6. I started talking about that last week, but I dove into it big time over the weekend. I'm at about 15 to 20 hours into the game now. I played a lot over the weekend. I have nearly a third of the map cleared out at this point. This game is exactly what I wanted. It is more Far Cry. It is Far Cry-ass Far Cry. Anton Castillo is a great villain. Not its best, you not the series' is. Best, but he is a great villain.
Yeah.
This game is exactly what you'd expect. If you played a Far Cry game, it is Far Cry-ass Far Cry. You get these companions that run with you. One is an alligator that will just go eat fuckers that are shooting you. It's great. Another companion is one of those cockfighting roosters that just goes out and just like pecks the shit out of people in the middle of gunfights. It's great. And then another one of your companions is this little dachshund dog that's missing its back legs and goes around on a wheelchair and will like go up and like start licking the hands of soldiers and get them all distracted. And you just walk behind them and pop them in the back of the head. It's great. It's great. I love it. So much cheesy, corn poppy type action flick stuff. you know, nothing too serious, but also kind of touches a little bit on some serious tones in terms of the communist dictatorship of this island. Yeah, it's great. I love it. I love the gunplay. Super fun gunplay. Lots of neat little gadgets. You got these backpacks now that you can use. Some of them do like EMP grenades. Some of them do like mortar rockets. You know, lots of cool gadgetry and stuff like that that you have with your character. I like how they actually give your character some personality now. So you can actually see your character at times in the game. And he talks and he has personality. So I like that part of it too. A lot more than some of the past games. They've been notable for being really focused on the villain rather than also your character. So I like that part of it. Yeah, I don't know. I love it. I mean, if you're a Far Cry fan, I don't see how you won't love this game. Unless you're looking for earth-shattering, groundbreaking, new, the most amazing non-remaster of your life.
I feel like that was a shot.
You will love Far Cry 6 because you know what? If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. Don't try to fix it. It's great. So yeah, that's what I've been playing this past week. I don't know if I'll have it finished next week. It's kind of a long game, but as soon as I get it finished, probably a couple weeks from now, you'll definitely get a review scale. This one's trending well. We'll see how it finishes with the story. I need the story to land in the end, and if it does, then this game will trend well on the try hard scale. Mike, what have you been up to this week?
I have been playing the usual Valheim, Rocket League. I actually did make it to champion last week in Rocket League.
That's right. Yeah, yep. Too, I was a part of that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's not your first time though, Mike.
No, the first time I was in a ice hockey, but I don't count that.
Oh, really? Am I the first one that's made it to champion out of our group?
What did you make it a champion in?
1v1s, bro. Remember?
You made it a champion in 1v1?
Yeah, two seasons ago. Shit, you don't remember that? I posted it to you.
I remember. You were like, oh, yeah. Because then you challenged me to a 1v1, and then you crushed that ass.
And I was like, I don't understand. Like, because remember what happened is I was like with you guys where I'm, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Diamond or whatever. And I played for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Let's say it was 4 hours and I didn't lose a match. Like, and you know how it goes where basically it's like you get extra bonus for like compounding, you know, wins or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overdoing it. Maybe it was 3 hours, but it was a long ass session and I literally never lost. I can't explain it, but yeah, I got to. So I was the first one of us, baby, and now I don't play ones anymore. But yeah, that was two seasons ago.
That's I gotta go look for that picture now.
I swore you got it before me. Yeah, well, it's on the Discord somewhere. We'll scroll back and find it.
This explains why Jason's so toxic. Anyway, Mike,
yeah. What I meant to say was, wait, you guys finally made it.
Oh my god.
It's about time. Oh. Can't believe I let you guys drag me down this entire time.
Oh yeah, it's all us, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Continue, Mike.
I also started Arkham Origins again. I got it for $20 on Steam. Like, I'm gonna play this game again, and I got to Deathstroke, and I kept dying. Okay, I'm gonna put this down for a little bit, and I haven't touched it since Saturday. But I'll get back into that because I really loved that game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're a big Batman fan, so I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm playing. I got onto Sea of Thieves just for a little cheeky session like 2 nights ago, and I was just gonna go fishing because I'm trying to get my achievements for catching all the fish everywhere. And then I heard like some cannons in the distance as I was like gathering all the worms for bait, and there was this sloop that was fighting a ghost galleon. So I was just going to go help the sloop, but then the sloop turned on me. I'm like, oh shit. So I ran away because I didn't have a lot of stuff. And as I was running away, I don't know if y'all know, but I came across the shrouded ghost Megalodon, which is the rarest Meg in the game. Like, it's very hard to spot. And it ran right across. Like, it was like right beside me as I was running away from the sloop. Like, shit, I could kill this thing right now, but then I get owned by the damn sloop. So yeah, it was a pretty heartbreaking night because I couldn't kill the damn Megalodon.
That sucks.
But I did end up sinking the sloop because they wouldn't leave me alone. And then I just got off.
That's been always my toughest part of Sea of Thieves. And I get it. It's a pirate game and I wouldn't want them to change it. But that's kind of, for me at least, why I kind of can't ever get into Sea of Thieves very much. Because
right.
I hate the idea of like trying to do something all night and it just kind of being thrown away at the end because somebody comes and pirates me. And again, like,
and what sucks the most is you were trying to help the dude.
Yeah.
no good deed goes unpunished.
This dude is struggling to get this ghost galley.
Fuck you, like, man, oh. No.
Then he started throwing freaking fire. I was like, God damn it, fine. I'll let you this boat sink you. And he freaking kept chasing me, and then he harpooned me. And so he was able to like keep his like cannons on my backside, so I could never turn because he just kept like keeping me in that angle, so I couldn't make a shot on him. And then he finally let me go because he ran into a goddamn rock. So I did like a little U-turn, and he like got stuck on this rock, and I just like bombarded him with like all these cannon shots, and just finally sunk him. It was a good time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I would never want them to change it. It just that's just why I struggle with that game. Before we go on, though, Mike, I want to go back to Arkham Origins for a minute here, because this is sort of the redheaded stepchild of the Arkham series. So why did you decide to go back to Arkham Origins?
Because it was what was on Steam, and I didn't feel like playing Arkham Knight again since I just beat it a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, just play this again. I liked them all. Like, I enjoyed them all.
Yeah, I actually thought Arkham Origins was a good game as well. I never understood why people gave it such a hard time.
Yeah, I don't know.
So how far into it is the Deathstroke fight?
It's like the first boss. It's the first boss you fight. Because like you have to time the parry right or he'll just own you. And so like I'm trying to like, because I was playing on keyboard and like I have to connect my controller to, and then I have to like figure out like my sensitivity settings to see how, like what the delay is, I guess, because like when I was doing it, it just wasn't, the timing was never what it was supposed to be. So I have to do research on that, because like that one is like a really hardcore parry dependent fight, you know what I mean? Because like you parry him and then you can do damage to him, and then he'll go back and do the same shit where you have to like parry him again and parry him again, and if I'm not getting that parry right, I'm just gonna get owned the whole time.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, this one comes from Warner Brothers, WB Games Montreal, and they're, of course, the developer behind for Gotham Knights. So Batman Arkham Origins is the last game they developed, and that game came out in 2013, and now they're doing next year's Gotham Knights. So it'll be very interesting to see how Gotham Knights is received, because I don't think really WB Montreal has done anything that's been like super, super well received. So I really hope for them that it goes well, because I mean, we're going to be almost 10 years between their two games. So as a studio, I think Gotham Knights has to do well for them.
Yep.
All right, Jason, what have you been playing?
God damn.
I don't even want to have this conversation with you. I don't even want to. Oh, we can't hear Jason. He's what has muted. He done? He's muted himself out of sheer embarrassment at what he has you to bastard. Do right now.
This dude straight mutes me because immediately knows what I'm going to talk about. See, that's the salt. He's like, I can't win. Mute.
I didn't know he could do that on this.
Apparently he can. I don't know how he can, because I thought you started this thing, Mike. I can't mute anybody. Can.
I think you're reading way too much into this, Jason.
Did you say we all can? Did you say we all can?
No, we can't.
No. Look
at me. Jason's very confused. Mike. Jason, just tell us.
No, stop.
What? Mike, just tell us what you've been playing.
Can you mute someone?
I can, yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay, Phil, look at me.
I can't. I can't. I can't. I cannot mute you.
Did Mike mute me?
Not the host. Mike muted you, man. I don't know what to tell you.
It might have been an accident. I don't. I was like,
oh
fiddling
my
with
God, Mike. So this two things are happening here. Either Mike is conspiring with Phil against me, or everyone in this lobby can mute everyone except for me.
No, I can only mute
I'm
myself.
I'm serious about it.
I'm not the host. I can only mute myself. Listen,
I hate all of you. Jason. And again, here, let me repeat what I was trying to say when I was muted.
Okay.
Phil is salty because I played this game that is a remaster mm-hmm. of an old game.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Preach. It's a straight remaster. Uh-huh. And here's the thing that drives me a little bit nuts about this is it is getting rave reviews. Rave reviews. I mean, and it's a struggle to find anybody who agrees with me. There are some of the people out there who do agree with me. There's some. But it's so well received right now. People are just all slobbering over Age of Empires 4.
Jason has to look at me. 82
on the metric score.
Darkest corners of the internet is where Jason has to find people
like
minded.
No, there's some people at IGN who are with me. So listen to this. I'm just telling you. Look, I love Age of Empires 2. I have untold hours into the game. What pisses me off is that Age of Empires 4 was advertised and promoted as a new game.
Which it is.
It is Age of Empires 2 remastered. They did tiny little changes. They updated the names of civilizations. They changed, like, slightly changed graphics. The graphics are terrible for a 2021 game. Terrible. Oddly enough, even all the people who love it say, like, yeah, the graphics aren't great.
The graphics are pretty rough. I agree with that.
So they slightly upgraded the graphics. They changed the UI, and they did small little changes like, okay, now you can clip and snap towers to walls, and soldiers can walk on walls. It's the exact same game. They didn't redo technology trees. They didn't do anything that is like groundbreaking. It's the exact same game. The exact same, like, there's nothing unbelievably revolutionary out of it. It's fun. It's fine. It's just Age 2, like, with better-ish graphics. Like, I don't know. It's not that it's bad, because I love Age 2. I'll still play Age 4. It's just, there's nothing new about it at all. Like, so there's nothing that brings me back to the game, because I told you this, Phil, and I stand by this. To me, the difference between a remaster and a new game is you're drawn to a remaster because of nostalgia, where a new game draws you to it because of the newness that it provides, the new adventure, the new, exotic feel you get from it, the endorphins that you get from discovery. This has no new discovery, no newness, no nothing. It's nostalgia. And people love this RTS game so much. And it's been so barren, truly, since H2 and StarCraft, that people are just so freaking desperate. They're like, oh my God,
finally something.
It's amazing. So that's where we're at. It's fine. It's a good game. I'll play it. It's just not Age of Empires 4. It's just not shitty Age of Empires 3. It's just the exact same fucking game of Age of Empires 2, just slightly changed, which is what a remaster is. Remaster is not exactly. It's like they make small little quality of life changes on those shit too. This is a fucking remaster. Anyway, so I also played Minecraft Dungeons.
I how you very quickly transitioned so that I couldn't slap you back down for your
Minecraft Dungeons
Age 4.
So, because I'm right. So Minecraft Dungeons is it's a fun little game. I've played it a ton with my 6-year-old. It's a kid type game. It's like the kiddie version of Diablo. That's really what it is. If you guys haven't played
I played the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's
with
fun.
My two kids.
Yeah. With your kids. Right. Exactly. It's fun.
Have you got to any of the boss fights?
What's that?
The boss fights?
Yeah.
Dude, some of those things I was like
hard.
Massively struggling. Yeah. I think because it scales a little bit to the number of people in your party, and my kids were just not helping at all.
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's a lot harder with your kid because your kid dies, and then the problem is it turns dark mm-hmm. while the you know, the death cooldown is on your kid and it stuff gets harder and you're trying to like stop to like revive them so that you don't get effed up. And the entire time you're doing that, you know, you're getting jacked and
then I'm not gonna lie, I got up
and then someone else dies. You're just like, oh my god, just stay alive, would you stop dying?
I got way too salty playing with my kids on this game. I'm not gonna lie,
my kid. I'm like, my 6-year-old, like, he's gotten to a point where he'll ask me to play it because there's not really another, you know, good game right now that the two of us have to play. So he, you can tell he reluctantly is like, I just want to play with you. So sure, let's play Minecraft Dungeons, but he doesn't enjoy it. Because I'm like, get your shit together, let's go. So me and a group of my like adult buddies, I don't know, randomly got into it and have been playing a little here and there. It's fine. It's a kiddie version of Diablo. There we go.
I would say the most disappointing thing about that is, you know, we played through the whole campaign.
Yeah.
Had a reasonably good time. I mean, some of the boss fights got stressful.
Yeah.
But then I went, they put out some like new expansion. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll buy that and play that with them. But I you have to like fucking grind some serious gear to get up high enough level to play those expansions. And I was like, well, that was a waste of money because me and my kids are not doing that.
It's very, to that point, it's very Diablo-like. I mean, it's straight up a gear grind. At the end game for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm up for the gear grind. I just don't, you know, I don't love it enough to like,
yeah, me neither,
replay levels over and over and over trying to get all that gear. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, man, whatever. So I've been back to playing some Apex. You know, I definitely had a big break from Apex. And I don't know, man, it's just one of those games. It's like golf. Like if you're not playing it, you're not good. So I've got to get back to playing some more because I feel like my skill level has fallen off from what I was. And, you know, it's fun. The brand new map dropped, like, I think yesterday. Brand new season, brand new gun, brand new character. And I've not played any of that yet. So I'll definitely be hitting some of that up. Probably playing more Apex now with the new season.
I was watching Dr. Disrespect and Tim
play
that on my lunch break today. And I'm like, oh, I can play
Apex. I didn't know they were back to playing Apex.
Yeah, they were playing yesterday. I was like, and it got me pumped like to play Apex. Like,
because Timmy hates it.
He hates it. Yeah, yeah. I could tell. But yeah, I'm like, I'm not this good. I'm going to suck.
Dr. Disrespect literally dragged him.
Yeah.
Because Timmy hates it. He's talked a lot of shit about it.
Right.
Mike, you're not as good as Tim the Tap Man?
I'm not as good as a blind child playing the game.
That's disappointing. I had so much faith in you.
I've only won one game, and I was completely I've won a couple, but I was carried the entire time.
Well, what's crazy is, so it's, you know, just kind of like how I have my like one-off take on age, apparently, where I'm the minority. Tim is the minority in his take on Apex. He doesn't like it because he thinks it's brain dead of a game. He thinks it's easy and just it's just like, if you want to win, here's what you do every time, no matter what. Like, you get this one kill, you rotate, you rotate, you rotate, you rotate, you wait till the final circle. You know, you get into another fight, you rotate, and, you know, you wait for other team to engage. You engage them for the final, and you win. Like, he's like, it's brain dead. Like, you do the exact same thing every single match, no matter what.
How's that different from Warzone?
I don't know, but that's his like, that's his like huge like spiel that he goes off on it. Whereas it's all basically the
same shit.
The like all of mass it. Majority of the community says that of all of the battle royales, Apex is the hardest skill level, but he just fundamentally disagrees with that. But anyway, he doesn't like it. So
it's probably because he's not good at it.
So the last little thing I have on my thing here is I just put in notes. Just because a few episodes back, maybe even the last episode I was on, I kind of was like, I feel like New World is, you know, dying. And I feel like, you know, does it have the ability to have a mainstay? And, you know, I'm not sure that it's got in game or the things that are really needed to like hold the attention from an MMO standpoint. So it's you can just say goodbye. MMO is dead now. It came out September 28th, so it's slightly over a month ago. And in this last month of October, they've lost over 500,000 users. So, wow. Bye-bye.
Like, I mean, that's kind of expected because, like, every new MMO, I mean, if you got a good, like, marketing team, you're going to get the word out. This new game's coming out, and they're going to get everybody hyped. Everybody's going to play the shit out of it for, like, a month, and they're like, okay, this is the same shit I've been playing on other games. So,
yeah, but, I mean, again, think MMO. Like, so let's go, like, the big one. You know, WoW. They were hitting, you know, 6 million, 5 million, you know, users, stuff like that. This game peaked on Steam at 760,000 users, so which was the largest, you know, concurrent game played at the time on Steam, and like three quarters of that are gone now. Like, that's a huge amount of their player base. Just whoop, like, nah, this game sucks. We're out.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
In a month.
I will say, though, as of an hour ago, there were 250,000 active players.
But that's the total we're talking about. 750, you take away 500,000, there's 250. That's what they're at. So basically, 250, all though, of their users are on.
Like something like Marvel's Avengers would love.
Oh, no. Right, I get you. I'm just saying, like...
They would kill, literally.
The writing is on the wall for that game. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a sharp decline over a short period, for sure. Yeah. For sure. All right, let's get into the news of the show because we got a bunch of it. And instead of doing any main topic like we normally do, we are just going to do a new speed run because it's not really going to be a speed run, but that's what we call it. So here we go, just a long news run.
I feel like I should have to take this one because...
No. I've got this.
You're gonna do
I've
this?
Got yeah, I've got this.
This is another barking point for me and you, man.
I put this number one just for your sorry ass, Jason.
You're all sorts of spiteful today, man.
Here we go. Like, number one, Riot has announced that League of Legends franchise has reached a staggering new milestone of 180 million active users for the month of October. News outlet PC Gamer reached out to Riot for clarification on how that number is calculated, and here is what they said. The figure is based on games set in the League of Legends universe. This includes League of Legends, League of Legends Wild Rift, Legends of Runeterra, Runeterra, Team Fight Tactics, and Fight of the Golden Spatula, licensed in China. While some publishers put out figures like these that actually reflect total accounts created over the game's lifetime, that is not the case here. Riot's astonishing figure is based on accounts that have been used to play at least one of its games in the last month. However, here's how Riot defines monthly active users. Monthly active users, MAUs, are defined as the number of players who accessed a game, and in this case, the calendar month of October. A player who accesses two of our games would be counted as two users. End quote. To give an idea of scale, in 2020, it was estimated that Steam had 120 million active users. As a reminder, Riot Games, an American company based out of California, is wholly owned by Chinese conglomerate Tencent, and then Tencent is closing in on becoming one of the next trillion-dollar companies. Would be the first Asian company to reach that mark. Furthermore, a deal between Epic and Riot marks the first time Riot's games have been available outside its own launchers. So I guess League of Legends can now be bought and played on the Epic Store.
Well, it's free, so it's sort of, it's like Fortnite. I mean, it's all microtransactions.
Quote, bought and played.
Yeah, but bottom line,
downloaded
is,
and played.
I'm not super shocked by that because again, Tencent owns both Epic and Riot, so like, it's like, I mean, okay,
yeah, absolutely true.
So, just kind of a refresher on that: 120 million active users versus 120 million on Steam, whereas Riot is at 180. That's crazy. That essentially, for the most part. One game, because League of Legends proper is by far the most popular game. So I would say it's mostly that game. But I will say this. I mean, I'm a big League of Legends player in the past. I've not recently played much of it. But I'll say this. It's a little kind of cheeky how they do the duplication of. So for instance, in this last month, if I had played League of Legends and I had played Teamfight Tactics, which I have played both, I would be counted twice.
Yep.
Yep. So that's a little cheeky.
Sure is. Yep.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, so I guess my take on this is, you know, I think this shows you why China is so important to a lot of video game companies right now. The reach that you get in bringing games to that market is enormous. I would almost bet my house that this number is wildly propped up on the Chinese market and the Southeast Asian market here.
To your point there, I will say this. I tried to do some research to show, you know, what percentage of their players were in what countries, and they're pretty hush-hush on it. The only data I could get at all was that the United States makes up about 14.5%. Turkey makes 9.26%. Brazil makes 9%. Germany is 6%, and Russia is 5%. For those of you out there who do math, that's not 100%.
Where's Japan at on that? I feel like,
and where's China? Korea. China is a huge part of this.
South Korea. Yeah.
But there's not 180 million people in South Korea. Yeah. So, that number is because of China. And also the mobile market, for sure.
Right.
This game, the only game on here that is available via mobile is Teamfight Tactics.
I thought that Wild Rift was a mobile game.
Oh, you're correct. I didn't see Wild Rift there. Yes, that's right too. Wild Rift is like the
light version of
League? Like the iOS or mobile version of League of Legends. I don't think it's that popular, but I could be wrong. I don't think it's you guys don't have phones?
Of course I have a phone, Jason.
I got
just
your reference there.
Just a little shot across Blizzard's bow there. My bad.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just as a note, there are 51 million people in South Korea. So even if all of South Korea played three of these games, they still would not make the 180 million total users.
Do they count each one? Like, so if I play three, I'm kind of three times? Or it's just two, up to two?
No. If you played all five, you would be counted five times.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel on that
I think the way they justify that is because you're looking at five different stores in their apps.
Well, but so here's the way I kind of was looking at it. It'd be similar to they're a developer. It'd be similar to Take-Two saying how many active users they have. We'll say exactly like that. No, it's not the same. I was going to say Steam does the same thing because Steam is taking all their games and combining them. But that's still one person that owns all those games.
Yeah,
they're counting it that way. Times. So, it's still. I think it's cheeky.
Surely they'd have a way of actually discerning, because you probably have an account
For sure.
That you log into.
Yeah,
I have a single Riot account. Games. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
no matter
absolutely.
Where you go.
I have one games into Riot, and then I launch which specific game that I want. So I have one Riot account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, technically I have two, because you got to have a Smurf account. But...
So, I mean, I think that they could totally discern that if they wanted to, but it makes for a much more impressive number if they add it all together.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing...
I'm just going to throw this one thing out there. Ireland and...
German?
It's Scottish. Don't be disrespectful.
No, my bad. Our Irish and our... What's the other country?
No, we have a German listener and a German. Scottish listener.
Okay, so I'm trying to say we have a Scottish.
There you go.
Yes, there you
and
go.
And a German, listener, and they're both like, "Don't you shit on my League of Legends?" Because League of Legends is a worldwide game. You could be shitting on their game, bro.
I could be. I could be. You're absolutely right. You're not. You're.
Although I didn't see the either of their countries on the little list here.
Yeah, they're not from Turkey, man. Come on.
Oh, no, wait. Yeah, Germany is 6%.
Okay, there you go. There you go. See? They probably are a league player. If you are, more power to you. Have fun with your...
And we definitely lost them because I called him Irish. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's so disrespectful. So no.
That's like calling Australians Kiwis and Kiwis Australians.
Aussies. Yeah. Don't do that.
They hate it.
All right, moving on to number two. Sega has announced it's agreed a, quote, strategic alliance, end quote, with Microsoft, which will see the Japanese gaming giant develop games using the Xbox firm's Azure cloud platform. The deal, which Sega said on Monday had been agreed in principle, will see it produce, quote, large-scale global games in a next-generation development environment built on Microsoft's Azure cloud platform, end quote. This proposed alliance represents Sega looking ahead. The company's statement reads as follows, quote, by working with Microsoft to anticipate such trends as they accelerate further in future, the goal is to optimize development processes and continue to bring high-quality experiences to players using Azure cloud technologies. Microsoft and Sega have agreed upon the foundation for this alliance, and through mutual cooperation, we'll look to build further technological evolutions with areas such as the network infrastructure and communication tools required for global online services being a key priority. Additionally, by shifting to a next-generation development platform, Sega can effectively adapt to diversifying work styles and potential infrastructural changes, end quote. I wanted to read this whole quote because, holy fuck, I have no idea what they're saying. There's so many big words and, like, word speak here. I have no idea. Dude, and so I wanted everyone to have to hear this.
I was like wondering, okay, he's even finished this and he's explained to me exactly what was said. And then you said that, I'm like, well, I'm fucked because I have no idea what the hell you just said.
Like every time like some scientist in a movie says something and someone has to go English.
Let's see, I'm looking to our resident sales director to explain what the fuck this speak is.
Okay, because well, here's all I got.
No
out of it.
Idea.
Literally, here's all I got out of it. Sega is doing things with the money they just got from Nintendo, mm-hmm, and investing it with Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that big freaking bad boy they got on the new, you know, Nintendo online deal.
I suspect this is a call towards Sega trying to develop more games of service type platforms. That's what I think this is trying to say.
So the other thing, and I could be reaching on this, but Xbox has recently, and it's one of the things we didn't talk about, but Xbox has been one of the companies that's come out and said that they're going to be investing a lot of money and working toward the metaverse. There's a lot of cloud talk in here using, you know, mm-hmm, Azure cloud technologies, and maybe Sega is helping on the back end of stuff toward their metaverse, you know, advancements. I mean, they purposely use a lot of, like you said, big talk, because it's one of those things they're like, we're making an announcement, but we don't want to announce what we're doing. So let's just make a lot of words that mean nothing. Right. That's what it feels like. It feels like, you know, every football coach who gets brought to the mic and is like, you know, all right, so tell us what you're going to do to win. Well, we're going to play defense and we're going to try to score.
Right.
Like it just feels like they're just having to make some kind of announcement, but they want to give nothing away.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Vague.
That it's definitely a very corporate level speak type, type response here. And it was interesting because the counter response, or not really counter response, but, the figurehead, I guess I'm trying to think of the right word here, from Microsoft that actually responded in kind to this announcement was Sarah Bond. Sarah Bond is one of the corporate vice presidents, at Microsoft over gaming ecosystems and corporate relationships. So I think it's very interesting that she would be the one to come out and make a response to this or a statement alongside this rather than someone like Phil Spencer. So I know I saw a lot of chatter online that was trying to suggest maybe Sega and Microsoft are coming together to build or develop a exclusive game. That I don't think that's what this is trying to say.
I really still think that, it's because they're talking global games, next generation development environment.
Yeah.
I think it's metaverse stuff. That's right. What my feel is.
Yeah, I completely agree. So anybody kind of worried about Sega doing stuff exclusively for Microsoft, that's not what this is.
I don't think that's going to be it.
Yeah.
It's too vague. Because, I mean, it would be so much easier to announce. You know what I mean? Like yeah, we're going to make this game for you.
I think it's like infrastructure type stuff toward metaverse. I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think it's like a specific property of any kind. That's just not what I think it is.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's move on to number three. We're only on number three, and we're over an hour into the show. Gary Bowser, one of the key members of hacker group Team Executor, has pleaded guilty to criminal charges. He was arrested in September 2020 and appeared in court last month, along with another member, Max Lauern, with a third member, Wanying Chin, still at large. The group created and sold a number of illegal circumvention devices designed to allow users to play illegal ROMs on their consoles, including the Switch, 3DS, PlayStation Mini, and SNES Mini, the most notable being the SX Pro mod chip and SXOS, which allowed ROMs to be played on the Switch. Bowser and Lauern were charged with 11 felony counts, including wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering. If found guilty, the pair faced long prison sentences, with those two charges alone punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Instead of facing trial, Bowser had pled guilty to two counts, trafficking in circumvention devices and conspiracy to circumvent technological measures and to traffic in circumvention devices, and offered to pay Nintendo $4.5 million, as well as help them find other members of the team. The prosecution has agreed to waive all other charges as a result, but the judge warned that despite his plea bargain, Bowser could still face prison time for the two counts he pleaded guilty to, with each punishable by up to 5 years in prison. My take from this is don't fuck around with emulation and ROMs and such anymore in this day and age, because you will get fucked, especially if it's on a Nintendo device.
This feels like a... basically the video games version of the manhunt that happened with the music industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Now hit here, like, you know, all right, you want to play that?
And I mean, I can't blame Nintendo for going after this guy. I mean, it's fucking illegal. Yeah. It is straight up illegal what they were doing.
Well, I mean, put it this way. He offered to pay Nintendo $4.5 million. He clearly was profiting off this bad boy.
Right. Yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
You know, I just had this laying around for my other job.
Yeah. Saved up for just in case.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that that's probably financially pretty ruinous, though, to him still. Nevertheless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's probably going like, I have $4.6 million. Profitable. I'll give you $4.5 to not send me to prison.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because 4.5 is nothing to Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah, he's not exactly bribing them with that. He's like, please take everything. Don't send me to jail.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Just don't fuck around, man. This stuff is legit, and you will regret it. So that's my take on this story. All right, moving on to
I love that his name is Gary Bowser.
I know, it couldn't be any better. I'm like, that's got to be a legal name change, right? Like, he's like, this will be great. I'll go by Bowser.
Yeah, it's great because, like, every story that you see on this, it's like Gary Bowser, not to be confused with Doug Bowser, currently president of Nintendo America.
That's funny.
That's great. All right, moving on. Number four, Take-Two's 2K Games label has reportedly canceled a new title from Mafia studio Hangar 13. Codenamed Volt, the project had reportedly been in development in various forms since 2017. Reporter Jason Schreier claimed Volt was a new IP and that rumors of Hangar 13 making a Mafia 4 were, quote, always false, aside from their early attempts in 2016 to 2017, end quote. In its second quarter earnings statement on Wednesday, Take-Two said it had taken a, quote, $53 million impairment charge related to the company's decision not to proceed with further development of an unannounced title, end quote, but gave no further details about the project. In the statement. $53 million they spent on this game and said, nope, it sucks. Fuck it. Throw it in the garbage. That is crazy. I mean,
wow.
We've seen bigger. I mean, how much was Titan when Blizzard decided to just
The amount they've spent, I think it was like 300 or something. They spent years on it. I remember they were talking about that during Burning Crusades.
I'm pretty sure they took like small aspects. I mean, we're talking small aspects of Titan and turned it into Overwatch. Isn't that right?
Like, I maybe think just so. Like
some characters. Yeah.
Like, they still invested some money, but yeah. I mean, they had to scrap a bunch.
But we've seen figures like this happen before. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like saying this is nothing. It's $53 million. It's $53 million more than I got.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is Hangar 13 is a relatively small studio. They don't have a whole lot of projects to their name. I would think this would be pretty damning for them. I don't know what y'all think.
Yeah.
I mean, that just feels like a big shot for them. That I don't know what they're turning to next, but if they don't kill it, they could be in real, real trouble. I mean, all they have is Mafia 3 and Mafia Definitive Edition. Those are the only two games they've ever put out. So
I think, I don't know. They could probably still use some aspects of what they developed in a new game. So I don't think they're going to lose out completely on this investment they had in this game.
So yeah, they can definitely flip assets and try to save something, but it's just still, that's a big hit for a small company like that.
It really is.
Okay, I mean, so I maybe I'm reading some articles here that are wrong here, but there's the estimation of cost that it cost Blizzard to cancel Titan was $50 million. Or it says $50 million or more. So maybe I'm, I don't know, maybe I'm way overselling this. I thought I remembered it being 300 something. Maybe that was the cost of WoW, and I'm confusing the two. Because I'm seeing multiple articles here talking about it being over $50 million. So, and Blizzard had a whole lot more money than what, you know.
Yeah, Blizzard is like freaking studio huge compared to these guys.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, anyway.
To be fair, though, that investment was probably foot by Take-Two. I mean, Take-Two owns Rockstar. So, Take-Two swim in cash, too. But, you know, that's still a big hit to the credibility of that developer. All right, let's move on to number five. In other Take-Two news, the company remained coy this week when asked if it would be interested in the FIFA soccer license should rival EA Sports fail to renew its long-running deal with the governing body. Jason, this bullshit is also for you. I hope you're happy with yourself.
Well, last month, Electronic kind of talked about this one a couple of weeks ago.
Last month, Electronic Arts published a public statement claiming that it was reviewing its licensing agreement with FIFA and implying that it could cut ties with the FIFA brand and rename its series while retaining separate deals for the league, player, and stadium licensing. It later emerged that the company had filed trademark applications for EA Sports FC, which could potentially be the new name for the franchise should it choose to rebrand the series. FIFA, the governing body of football, later fired back via its own statement suggesting that it was open to working with new video game companies. Jason, you wanted so badly to talk about this nonsense.
I mean, we've already covered it before. I mean, look, it's just the only new news now is that basically 2K is like basically saying like, yeah, we won in the mix, which I straight up said a couple weeks ago, like, imagine that who's the other big studio to take this. And we talked about how EA had NBA and then 2K got it and 2K exploded. And now EA basically doesn't have basketball anymore. It's done. Yeah. This could happen to them on the, you know, on the FIFA side too. I mean, look, FIFA, and 2K makes FIFA a good sports game, man. Like, I love FIFA. You love FIFA. I'm just saying, like, it's a threat. Like,
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. FIFA 2K24 or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I think that what EA have built with FIFA right now, the game, I think will last long after the title or not, is my opinion.
Well,
also, fuck FIFA, because the governing body itself, because they're a corrupt bunch of corrupt motherfuckers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, look, we 100% agree on that. And ultimately, look, let me stop for a second and say, I do not want EA to lose FIFA. I think EA makes a fantastic game. I said this last time, and I'll say it again. Yeah, EA can go ahead and lose the NFL because fuck, Madden sucks now. But, you know, NCAA was always better than Madden, by the way. I'll just throw that out there. And we've been missing that game, and Madden has gone downhill like crazy since NCAA stopped. But they do a great job with the FIFA game. So I'm not one of those who's like rooting for this to go to 2K because I want it to happen. I'm just saying if it happens, hopefully 2K would do a good job because they've done well with basketball.
Right. I mean, we would have competing soccer games again on the market if it went to 2K, because EA Sports would not stop making a soccer game. It would just...
Well, but if they lose FIFA, the license, that what it would be like is it would be like... They would have to be, you know, generic teams. They wouldn't have Chelsea.
No, that's not true, because they have all their licensing agreements individually with all of the different teams. The only thing the FIFA name does is put the name on the box and then give them licensing deals for like the World Cup.
Oh, that's right. We had that discussion.
That's it. Correct. Yeah.
You're right. We would. So, okay. So, I mean, look, and again, we kind of go back to the corruptness. This is probably all it is just FIFA officials looking for their handout. Like, who's going to give us more under the table money?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly. Off the books.
Look at all those microtransaction dollars. Give us some of them.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Like, who ends up going to prison for this in 10 years?
Yeah, exactly.
The real question.
Infantino, you're next. Going back to jail. All right, number six, Activision Blizzard has delayed the launches of Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 from next year to at least 2023. The news was announced on Tuesday during the company's third quarter's earning call. Third quarter earnings call. While Blizzard said in February that both Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 would not launch until at least 2022, Activision Blizzard Chief Operating Officer Daniel Allegri said today that the publisher had previously expected to release the games next year. Quote, as we have worked with new leadership in Blizzard and within the franchises themselves, particularly in certain key creative roles, it has become apparent that some of the Blizzard content planned for next year will benefit from more development time to reach its full potential. While we are still planning to deliver a substantial amount of content from Blizzard next year, we are now planning for a later launch of Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 than originally envisaged. As someone who doesn't really care about either of these two games, I turn this over to Mike and Jason, because
I am not surprised at all.
Oh, me either.
It's just like I was just waiting for these delays to happen after like everybody started like leaving, getting fired and all that shit. I'm like, okay, well, these are like major guys in these developments. Like, if they're gone, like,
who's left? Like, at some point, you don't have employees working on these games. They can't continue to be developed. Two, like, what I was, you know, messaging you guys, you know, about this last night. Like, look, this, I'm worried for Blizzard, man. Like, like, there is no one left. No one left from the regime. And they are terrible people at this point. But the regime that actually made Blizzard what was at the time the best studio. That doesn't exist anymore. They are a name. Like, none of those people are there. All the creative minds are gone. They're just a group of people now. It's essentially, you know, there is no more Blizzard. It is Activision now.
That's what it feels
just
like.
Just doing the IP of Blizzard. And can they do that? We don't know yet. But, you know, the good news is, while we wait for these two games to come out, we'll have phones. and we'll be able to play Diablo on the phone or something like that. Somehow. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, Mike.
I'm not either. It's sad, to be honest. Like, I loved Blizzard back in the day, and now it's just like, there's nobody's there that I really like. The developers that I like are not even there anymore. So,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I don't know if they can do it or not. Like, I just don't know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, as someone who came to Diablo pretty late, I played Diablo 3 at Mike's recommendation a few years ago. I really enjoyed that. That was my first experience, and
that was great.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was semi excited when they announced Diablo 4. I thought, man, that could be really good. I love the cutscenes and the stories.
When they actually announced Diablo 4, or when we thought they were going to, and when they should have announced Diablo 4, and they released the Y'all Have Phones.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all have to remember, I'm not glued to every little BlizzCon announcement thing here. So I'm talking about when it was actually announced.
Okay. Just making sure. Because so, they should have announced it way back then.
Yeah.
And they knew it too.
But yeah, I mean, I think relatively speaking, these delays are pretty obvious considering the amount of leadership shakeups that have happened over there.
Well, I mean, not even leadership, just straight up employees too. Like they're bones, sure. Man.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what we're gonna see. It's gonna be a long time if they come back before they come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And moving on to number 7, the Blizzard news does not stop there. And in what is probably one of the most concerning announcements of all of this, co-leader Jen O'Neill is stepping down from her role just 3 months after being assigned it. The former Vicarious Visions boss, who was announced as Blizzard's co-leader alongside former Xbox exec Mike Ybarra in August, is said to be leaving the company to focus on bringing more diversity to the games industry. The exec is a 20-year veteran of Activision, and the company said on Tuesday that it would donate $1 million to Women in Games International in her honor. O'Neill is a board member of the organization. Here is her statement. Quote, "I am doing this not because I am without hope for Blizzard, quite the opposite. I'm inspired by the passion of everyone here working towards meaningful, lasting change with their whole hearts. This energy has inspired me to step out and explore how I can do more to have games and diversity intersect and hopefully make a broader industry impact that will benefit Blizzard and other studios as well. While I am not totally sure what form that will take, I am excited to embark on a new journey to find out," end quote. Guys, when I read this, I immediately literally busted out laughing out loud.
I've been smiling this whole time.
Bullshit thing ever. She's like, fuck this. I am out. Burning pile of dog shit.
Like, statement here, like, same deal. Do you want me to tell, like, you want me to tell you what this really says? Like, I'm going to give you what the actual, like, what she's saying in code here.
Yeah.
They donated $1 million to the organization I'm head of and gave me a fat fucking settlement to get out of here. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about how amazing they are and everything is pretty and good and I signed a non-disclosure and I have no idea what the new journey is that's ahead of me, but I'm so excited. Ching ka-ching.
You have to get paid a fuck ton of money to be like, yeah, I'm out. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do next, but I'm gone.
I have no idea what's going on, but I'm so excited that I just got freaking let go.
Thrilled to be out of this dumpster fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think it's really interesting. You know, she was the former Vicarious Visions boss, and Vicarious Visions were folded into Blizzard. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah,
and Vicarious Visions did great work. I mean, they did great work on the Destiny Crash
as well.
Yeah, they did, but they also did the Crash remaster, and they developed Crash 4, which was really well received. And then they're just like, no, fuck these guys. We're folding them into Blizzard, and they don't even get to keep their name. And their former boss is going to be the co-leader, and also she's gone.
Yeah, so 3 months. So what 3 months is, by the way, is the... here's what happened. I mean, you know, anybody who's, I'm sure, Phil, you've done this. Anybody who's in management and has, you know, hired employees, you have a 90-day review It's pretty standard. They came in and were like, so this isn't working out.
Right. Yep. 100%.
But you're kind of a big deal, and we have this huge issue going on with women and our company, so we're going to pay you a shit ton of money to just quietly walk away.
Exactly.
That's just what happened.
Yep. No. I mean, that's exactly it. And, you know, I really wonder, you know, for Mike Ybarra, who came over from Xbox, who, I mean, you couldn't possibly be on two different trajectories, right? Where Xbox is going right now and where Activision Blizzard is going right now, like, you got to be wondering what the hell he's thinking. Like, why did I do this?
I'll say this, like,
Talk about a horrible choice.
Comical, hilarious, and confusing to me that they were. I mean, it's so. This is so blanket obvious. Exactly what's happening. It's odd to me that in the middle of this controversy, in the middle of all this shit that's going down, that they, you know, think that they can hide it with this wording. That make it 6 months. Don't do it at the fucking 90-day review. Like, it's so obvious what they just did. Just hold on a little longer. Wait it out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be pretty dense to not see what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Really bad times. Well, all right, let's get her.
Yeah.
I mean, she got paid. Yeah. I just hope that she wasn't part of the problem, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, she can't be. She was only there for freaking 3 freaking months.
Well, no, she's a 20-year Activision employee. She was the former head of Vicarious Visions.
Well, but again, the problems aren't necessarily from Activision. They're from Blizzard's side.
Sure. Yeah. You're not wrong. All right, let's get on to something slightly more positive. Number 8, Amy Hennig, former Naughty Dog creative director and one of the main forces behind the Uncharted series, has announced she is working on a new Marvel game from Skydance New Media. I had to like do a triple take when I first wrote this, but that is their name, Skydance New Media. She said, quote, "I can't imagine a better partner than Marvel for our first game. The Marvel Universe epitomizes all the action, mystery, and thrills of the pulp adventure genre that I adore." Bad slip there. "That I adore and lends itself perfectly to an interactive experience. It's an honor to be able to tell an original story with all the humanity, complexity, and humor that makes Marvel characters so enduring and to enable our players to embody those heroes that they love." End quote. Hennig, who previously directed the first three Uncharted games and Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver, all four of those games are fucking brilliant, by the way. Then announced in late 2019 that she was helming a new game studio formed by Hollywood production company Skydance. Skydance hired Hennig to lead the new San Francisco-based company alongside former Electronic Arts executive Julian Brake, who has 30 years of experience working on franchises such as Battlefield, Need for Speed, and Star Wars. I would say the names behind this and the fact that it's a Marvel game actually has me legitimately excited. Amy Hennig had previously been working on that Star Wars 1313 game or something. It was supposed to be like a bounty hunter Star Wars game, mm-hmm. basically like Uncharted.
Yeah.
And I was really excited for that. And that got canceled by EA. Fuck EA for that. But now she's making something in the Marvel Universe. And that has me legitimately excited.
What are you hoping? What characters are you hoping it's going to be about?
Goodness. I hope that... you know, because it's Hennig, I hope that they go and they find one of the better female characters, one of the female superheroes. Maybe do a good Wonder Woman story.
Wonder Woman is DC.
Well, not Wonder Woman. I'm sorry.
Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Thank you. I've been watching a lot of DC stuff. You're going to have to forgive my slip. At least we caught it before it had to be a correction. Or maybe a Black Widow.
Oh, that'd be good.
Game could be really cool, like a spy Black Widow game. Mm-hmm. That's probably be where I'd hope they go with this.
All right.
What about you, Mike?
Same. Probably like maybe some X-Men.
I literally was about to say, what about X-Men?
It's a great shout.
I don't know why, because I was just thinking like really good Marvel female characters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all of them I could really think of were like, it was like, well, that's X-Men. Well, that's X-Men. Well, that's X-Men. It was like Rogue, Storm,
Jean Grey,
Dark Phoenix, Emma Frost. Like, yeah, there's so many, Snip you know, Ride. Yeah, there's a, I mean, there's actually a, there's a ton of really good, you know, women in X-Men, like a ton. And so, I mean, there's a bunch more we haven't named. I mean, there's a lot of them. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It'd be cool to see an X-Men game.
I'd like to see a new X-Men game.
Yeah, I'm, I'd be down for X-Men.
I mean, game. Wolverines is coming out. That Wolverine game is coming out soon, but
yeah. I don't know. But that's not really an X-Men game as much as it's a Wolverine game.
The only thing I'll say is that Amy tends to have favorite games that are centered around a single protagonist. So I would struggle to see her doing an X-Men game.
Right.
Unless it's a game about
like an Avengers type.
Sure. Exactly. So I don't know. I could be totally wrong, but that'll be my, that's my
what if it
very
was,
early take.
I mean, this is a thought here. It's Marvel. Does Sony own all of the rights to all of the Spider-Man properties? Because what I'm thinking is, like, let's say if it's like
Spider-Girl.
Gwen. You know what I mean? She's majorly surged in popularity since
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse. She's like had a major popularity spike.
I think Sony has like a firm grasp on that entire universe.
I think they do. I just don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I think that we'll see Gwen in the new Spider-Man game.
For sure.
Insomniac Spider-Man 2 game. I think we'll see her there.
Okay.
I don't know. That'd be a good game too, but I don't think that the studio is making a Spider-Man game.
No, I don't think so.
Even if it's a Spider-Girl.
I was just kind of thinking lead girls Marvel.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I'm being invited by one of my company executives to play Apex right this moment.
You're going to have to ignore them.
I am.
Because you are dedicated to this show. Moving on, number 9, back to the bad news. The head of Square Enix has claimed that Crystal Dynamics was a bad fit for Marvel's Avengers, given its lack of experience with the games as a service model. Addressing shareholders in a statement published in the company's annual report, President Yosuke Matsuda said Square Enix needed to learn from the game's disappointing performance. Notably, he highlighted the importance of matching development studios with game designs that best suit their skill sets and interests. He had a long quote here. I don't think I'm going to get into it. But what I've seen, I think what I want to talk about with the story is I've seen a lot of headlines kind of suggesting that Square Enix are disappointed with Crystal Dynamics as a studio. And that's not what I took out of this quote. If you haven't read it, it's out there on the internet, easy to find. Go take a look at it. Listen to what he's saying. But he's very clearly stating that we, as a publisher, did not do a good job of matching up our studio with the type of property that we were asking them to make. And specifically, he talks about, I mean, he just says games as a service, games as a service, games as a service. He says it over and over and over in this quote. Basically, he's saying, look, Crystal Dynamics should never have been asked to make a games as a service game. That's not their strong suit. We shouldn't have done that to them. And the game was disappointing. And yeah, that was a bad choice for us to pair those two together. So I don't think that this is somehow a shot at Crystal Dynamics from them. I think it's them just recognizing that they asked a studio that's known for single player games to make something that's not single player.
So the only thing I have to say on this is, does this make you feel, you know, now that another developer is coming out and really saying like, hey, we like them, but, you know, it just didn't work out. Does this make you feel any better about the Xbox joint venture?
I mean,
because you were one of those that as soon as you heard Crystal Dynamics and Xbox, you were like, bleh.
Well, I wasn't like that because I don't like Crystal Dynamics. I love Crystal Dynamics as a developer. I think they made a great Marvel's Avengers 10-hour single-player story, personally, right? I think that the rest of the game around it was garbage, but I thought they made a great single-player story there. I definitely think they made a great Tomb Raider game, the 2013 reboot, and then Rise of the Tomb Raider after
Perfect Dark is up their alley either, though.
Well, Perfect Dark is supposed to be a single-player game. So I don't know. I mean, I think maybe
aren't we sitting here saying that that's what they do well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay, let me back up for a second. The reason why I was not thrilled about the partnership announcement was not because of Crystal Dynamics. It was because of Xbox and what they were doing, trying to announce a big partnership with a large third-party studio like that, with what was supposed to be their big quadruple A news studio.
You're like, in the why initiative. Can't you handle it yourself?
Exactly. And also I think that, you know, given the timing of the announcement, with the fact that Crystal Dynamics are associated with Marvel Avengers, which is not doing well, I think the timing of that announcement also calls into question, like, it's not going to get the reaction you think it's going to get. It's not like you just snagged, you know, Rockstar to come in and support your game, right? Like, right. It's not going to get that kind of reaction from the fans. So I didn't understand why they were announcing it, why they were pulling that company over. Certainly, I think that Crystal Dynamics needed work for sure, because maybe Square Enix doesn't know what to put them on to next, and it was a good fit. And maybe it could lead to a future purchase of Crystal Dynamics from Square Enix. Mm-hmm. But I don't know for sure. I really wanted to put in the story because I wanted to head off some of the articles that were kind of framing this as if Square Enix was taking a shot at Crystal Dynamics, because I don't think that's what they're doing here. I don't think that's what the statement is saying.
They're just recognizing it was a bad mashup of game and studio.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. I took that too.
All right, number 10. Yes, it keeps going. This is still not the last one. Sony Interactive Entertainment is reportedly set to make a 5% investment in Devolver Digital. The PlayStation maker will acquire a minority stake in the U.S.-based publisher, which today began floating on London Stock Exchange. Devolver Digital is now trading on AIM, a submarket of the London Stock Exchange. I just said that twice. Why did I write that twice? Following a flotation that values the company at almost $1 billion. Founded in 2009, the Austin, Texas-based company is the publisher of many high-profile indie games, including Hotline Miami, Fall Guys, and more recently, Death's Door. Its upcoming titles include Weird West, Shadow Warrior 3, Demon Throttle, and The Talos Principle 2. Mike, what do you think about this? I mean, do you think this signals PlayStation are actually not giving up on indies, or do you think that they just see a developer that has quite a bit of stock power right now and see it as a good investment?
I just see it as a good investment for sure. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Devolver Digital is a fun studio. I don't know if you've kept up with some of their stuff that they've done. They always have those really quirky, silly shows at E3, which are quite interesting. So I've seen a lot of people on the internet trying to say, oh, look, PlayStation have not given up on indies. I don't see it that way. I just see it as, you know, it looks like a good opportunity for them to get involved with a company that's just now finally gone public.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I don't think that PlayStation will ever give up on indies, because a good chunk of their games are indies. So,
yeah, I mean, they certainly moved away from them in recent times throughout the life of the PS4. Mm-hmm. And that's why that question's come up. But yeah, I feel like it would be really hard.
I mean, they may not be taking a lot more, but I think they will still bring in some good ones.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's Devolver Digital games, they can't go wrong. Hotline Miami, Fall Guys, those are great, great games. Death's Door, I talked about Death's Door last week on the show. Right. So,
you've never played Fall Guys though, have you?
No, you did.
Because you got it for free, right, on PlayStation Store?
I did. Well, that's true. Yeah, I did. I tried a few rounds of it, but I recognize its popularity.
Yeah.
So. All right, Jason fell off the show, which is why we were stumbling around there a little bit. I don't know if he's back on or not, but if he's not, it's fine. We didn't.
We're here.
Yeah. All right. So number 11, Nintendo has said it will be unable to meet Switch demand this holiday season as its production efforts continue to be hampered by the global semiconductor shortage. In a press statement following the publication of the company's second quarter results on Thursday, Nintendo president Shintaro Furukawa said he saw no end in sight to the supply issues. We can't produce enough to meet the demand we are expecting during the upcoming holiday season. Currently, there's no sign of improvement, and the situation continues to be severe, so I can't say how long it will continue. This echoes similar statements from around the industry, with Sony saying last week that PS5 supply issues were negatively impacting hardware sales, and Xbox boss Phil Spencer saying that a shortage of chips isn't the only issue stopping Microsoft from meeting Xbox Series X demands. They're all getting affected by this holiday season. I hope you weren't expecting a PS5, a Series X, or a Switch under your tree, because it doesn't look like it's happening unless you're really fucking lucky.
Yeah, I've given up. It's not going to happen for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough go to try to find one of these days. It really is. It makes you wonder if it's worth just paying the scalped price if you really, really, really want one of these things.
Never will I do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think like if I still didn't have one, I would be seriously tempted at this point. But, you know, I think my desire and want for PlayStation products right now is at an all-time high. And that's probably why.
Right.
For sure. All right. So now that we finally got Jason back onto the show, technical issues aside, we did finally get through the news.
That was a thick news section.
That man. Was a thick,
juicy,
juicy ass news section. Jason, did you have anything you wanted to add to those last two topics before we moved out of the show?
I mean, not really.
Not really. Good stuff. I mean, good.
They're
stuff.
Not worth going back to.
Man.
Yeah, I see how it is. I mean, you hate Nintendo, you hate PlayStation. What can we say? All right.
I mean, like, you know, it just is what it is. I mean,
yeah.
I can't even believe you right now. All right, upcoming releases: Call of Duty Vanguard, November 5th. That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow or today if you're listening to the show.
Let's say on East Coast, that's now.
True that. Forza Horizon 5, November 9th. If you got early access, that's actually November 5th. So you could be playing that right now on the East Coast. Jurassic World Evolution 2, November 9. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic Switch port, November 11th. Battlefield 2042, November 19th. Icarus, November 20th. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl, November 19th, if you really want some Pokemon goodness in your life. And Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker, November 19th also. That's what's coming out over the next few weeks. Go get some new games. I'm very excited for Forza Horizon 5. Got big time reviews. I'm a huge fan of the series anyway. I am super excited to jump into that.
I might be wrong on this, but I feel like because of delays, like we had a good group of like 2 months here of some pretty good games releasing, mm-hmm. but I don't know why, but I have this like feeling that the Christmas holiday, like the next couple months are extremely light. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, we've got Call of Duty and we've got Battlefield like we always do, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Halo Infinite is coming out the first week of December.
Okay.
And we haven't mentioned
it. That's decent ways off. That's all of November of basically mm-hmm. nothing.
Unless you
want to count Farming Simulator 22.
Yeah. I mean, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are remakes of older Pokemon games too. So
mm-hmm.
not a whole lot. Whole lot this holiday season. But if you haven't, go check out Guardians of the Galaxy. This motherfucker is getting praised big time across the internet. I'm very excited. I bought it because of the amount of praise that it was getting. I'm going to jump into it this weekend. It sounds like this is a badass game. So maybe go check out some videos for it. Maybe that's your holiday game that you were missing that you might have passed up on previously. But since there's not much else out there,
right.
Check out Guardians of the Galaxy. All right, game announcements. Electronic Arts has delayed the release of its new PGA Tour game and specified no new release window. And publisher 2K has delayed Marvel's Midnight Suns from March 2022 to the second half of the year. Probably a good idea considering how stacked February and March is for next year. Get Marvel's Midnight Suns away from that launch area. Probably not a bad idea. All right, free games. Epic Game Store has announced its next freebie. Rogue Company Season 4 Epic Pack will be free to download from November 11th to 18th. And until then, you've got Avon Colony from November 4th to 11th. Amazon has also revealed its latest batch of free titles coming to Prime Gaming members. Available as part of an Amazon Prime subscription, the following games will be available in November: Control Ultimate Edition, Dragon Age Inquisition, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Rogue Heroes, Liberated, Puzzle Agent 2, Demon Hunter 2, New Chapter, BAFL, Breaks Are for Losers, and Secret Files, Sam Peters. There's actually some pretty good. Control is a really good game. Dragon Age Inquisition, Rise of the Tomb Raider. Those are three pretty big games.
I feel like whenever there's like always like free games announced somewhere, it's always those three games.
That's true.
Dragon Age is on Xbox Game Pass, so it's like, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and Control was a PS Plus game recently, so for sure. All right, your Game Pass games. There's some big ones. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas Remaster. It Takes Two, Forza Horizon 5, Kill It With Fire, Unpacking, Football Manager 2022 Xbox Edition, and then Football Manager 2022 PC version, One Step from Eden, and Minecraft on PC, all coming to Game Pass over the next couple weeks. Some big games there. Big games. Everything that I just called out will be in the service by November 11th. Some of them already available, like It Takes Two, which is a really critically acclaimed game. Go check it out. And then PlayStation Now's November games have been announced: Mafia Definitive Edition, Celeste, Final Fantasy IX, and Totally Reliable Delivery Service will be available for subscribers starting November 2. If you haven't checked out Celeste and you have PlayStation Now, please. Celeste is amazing. It was on my Games of the Generation episode at the end of last year. That's it, guys. Holy shit. We talked forever. I think it's time to get out of here. What do y'all think?
I got to pee.
Yeah, I think me too. So who is going to take us home on this here, the monster follow-up to Aaron Brooke being on the show?
I mean, Aaron Brooke kind of nailed this part, which I'm still sad that I missed that one, but, you know, I had...
How about we let him do it again, and we will just say the 68th, and Adam can just splice in the 68th.
Right, yeah, we're just going to have him do this outro every single time, and then just, like, when it gets to the episode number, we're just going to, like come over.
68.
I feel like if we did that, we might get in trouble. We might get a cease and desist letter. So, Jason, why don't you take us out for real on this one?
Guys, thank you everyone for listening to the 68th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. If you have any questions or live in another country, DM us on Twitter or Facebook. We will be back again next Friday on episode number 69, not the rapper. The episode, not the position. 69.
The episode. 69.
Have a great weekend. Stay hard. Specifically because of 69. Have a great weekend. Stay hard and game safe.